From WILL's Illinois Newsroom, this is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. It's Wednesday, February 24th. Coming up, we'll hear from doctors administering COVID-19 vaccines who have a bittersweet feeling. That's because they have family abroad who can't get them. That story from Side Effects Public Media in just a few minutes. But first, these headlines. Urbana Mayor Diane Marlin easily defeated two challengers in Tuesday's Democratic primary, and she'll be running unopposed for a second term in the April 6th election. Illinois Newsroom's Jim Meadows has more.
Not including any late-arriving mail-in ballots, Mayor Marlin won 72.3% of the vote, well ahead of Alderman Dennis Roberts, the second-place finisher, with 17.25%, and recent U of I graduate Andy Ma with 10.5%. Marlin told reporters last night that her top priority in a second term would be getting the city back on its feet after the COVID-19 pandemic.
And key to that is getting our kids safely back to school, help businesses operate successfully in the post-pandemic environment, and work with our community partners to make sure we're meeting fundamental needs like housing.
Marlin said other priorities would include infrastructure upgrades, police reform, and addressing structural racism. I'm Jim Meadows, Illinois Newsroom.
Other winners in Tuesday's Democratic primary included Urbana City Clerk Phyllis Clark, who defeated County Board Member Tatiana Ammons. Also in Urbana, Democratic voters chose candidates in five of the city's seven city council wards. James Quisenberry defeated incumbent Alderman Jared Miller, and Chris Evans was a winner against recently appointed Alderman Eric Sachs. Meanwhile, in Champaign, Township Supervisor Andy Kornstrom outpolled Rita Connerly in the Democratic primary and will face Republican Karen Foster in April. In Decatur, voters trimmed a field of 12 candidates to six in a nonpartisan city council primary. The six will compete for three council seats in April. They include current council members David Horn and Chuck Cooley. You can find full primary election results at illinoisnewsroom.org. U.S. Senator Dick Durbin says he's hopeful a compromise can be reached on President Joe Biden's COVID rescue plan in Congress. The Illinois Democrat says the package would meet increases in testing supplies, vaccines, and other relief that's desperately needed across the nation.
Emergency provisions across the board for schools, individuals, families, businesses, and it needs to be passed quickly. I joined Senator Schumer in asking the Republicans to put aside politics and to stand with Joe Biden and with the American people now.
Durbin and Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer say they're working on negotiating specific portions of the bill and hope to have something ready for a vote soon. Critics of the plan say it's too expensive. Just 2 days after former Illinois House Speaker Michael Madigan appointed a young replacement to his seat in the General Assembly, Madigan is asking him to step down. Hannah Meisel has more.
Madigan on Sunday picked 26-year-old Edward Guerra Kodat to replace him in the House seat he held for more than 50 years. But on Tuesday, Madigan asked his successor to resign after only 2 days, citing a zero-tolerance policy over, quote, alleged questionable conduct by Kodat that's come to light since his appointment. Kodat has worked for Madigan's hand-picked 13th Ward Chicago alderman for the past 4 years and had done work for Madigan's political organization on Democratic legislative campaigns. Madigan selected him after an open candidate forum this past weekend. Other committeemen responsible for choosing Madigan's replacement backed alternative candidates, but Madigan had far and away the most weighted votes to make the selection on his own. I'm Hannah Meisel.
Still to come, we'll hear how foreign-born doctors in the United States are feeling about administering COVID-19 vaccines when family back home can't get them. That's next on 217 Today.
The COVID-19 pandemic has disrupted our educational systems with long-lasting consequences. I'm Lee Gaines, education reporter for Illinois Newsroom. I'm diving deep into the issues that matter to students, teachers, and families, shining a light on problems and looking for solutions. Hear what I uncover next on AM 580 and FM 90.9, or look for my stories online at illinoisnewsroom.org.
This is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. As American healthcare workers received COVID-19 vaccines, many were relieved and hopeful. But doctors who are foreign-born also describe a bittersweet feeling. Side Effects Public Media's Farah Yousri reports that they worry about family and friends back home who are still waiting for vaccinations.
On a freezing winter day, Dr. Samuel Urrutia is walking to a coffee shop near University Hospital in Indianapolis. He's taking videos to share with his parents back in Honduras over the family WhatsApp group.
My family likes seeing videos of the snow. They never have actually experienced it, so it's all new for them.
Urrutia is a resident physician of internal medicine at Indiana University. His father is a general practitioner in a rural Honduran village.
My dad is 57 years old. He is about to retire later this year, actually. But he still worked through the pandemic because they thought they needed him, and he has not received a vaccine. There's no plan for mass vaccination in Honduras or even for high-risk population vaccination.
The United Nations says 75% of the world's available vaccines have been administered in only 10 countries. Meanwhile, 130 countries still don't have a single dose. Urrutia received the Pfizer vaccine in December. It left him happy and hopeful, but these feelings are tempered when he thinks of family and colleagues back home.
How unfair it is for some people to be seeing 60 or 80 patients a day in a country like Honduras and not be able to access the vaccine.
Nearly 30% of doctors in the U.S. are foreign-born like Urrutia, mostly from developing countries with limited or no vaccine access.
That makes me obviously sad and angry also at the same time that there's this inequity in the distribution of the vaccine.
That's Dr. Wasim Abdullah, an internal medicine resident at IU. He's from Lebanon.
Of course, I feel lucky. I was able to get the vaccine, and I'm a, immigrant doctor, getting the vaccine even before the president of the United States. Whereas, like in Lebanon, 2 months into the vaccine rollout, so far nobody has gotten the vaccine inside of the country, including my colleague doctors.
His grandfather in Lebanon is 102 and has yet to get the vaccine. He worries about his family back home a lot. From an office at University Hospital, he makes a video call to his father.
Hi, Baba.
In Arabic, his father tells him that the TV newscast says Lebanon will receive Pfizer vaccine doses soon.
Yeah.
For many countries like Lebanon, vaccines are the most likely way to control the pandemic. COVID lockdowns or even social distancing is hard in places where many rely on daily wages. This allows the virus to spread unchecked. Here's John Patton, a virology professor at IU.
So if you have a population in which the virus is just infecting and spreading uncontrolled, there is almost a competition among the different viruses that are being produced.
Patton says this can lead to new virus variants, and they could undermine vaccination efforts, even in countries like the U.S. At the same time, in many developing countries, trust in government's ability to deliver a smooth vaccine rollout is limited. That's something Dr. Ahmed Al-Kashash, an IU pathology resident, sees in his home country, Egypt.
The health sector in Egypt is underfunded. So I think this is where the problem lies.
He's sitting in the pathology lab looking in a microscope. He feels lucky to be safe, and at times, guilty too. He says COVID deaths are piling up back home, and his doctor friends speak of a thankless situation.
Every day I log on my Facebook account, every day I see someone who's lost. That's every day. Someone I knew personally.
At this rate, many developing countries will have to wait until 2024 to vaccinate enough people, even though some wealthy countries are amassing enough doses to vaccinate their residents many times over. For Side Effects Public Media, I'm Farah Yusri.
And finally, in your forecast, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says we'll continue to enjoy warm weather with partly cloudy skies and a high of 43 degrees. That's it for today. Reporting today contributed by Jim Meadows, Jennifer Fuller, Hannah Meisel, and Farah Yusri. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Brian Moldeen. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening. Stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.